The end of the fiscal year means companies will try some things they might not normally try to book some business before September 30th. Bidding in a reverse auction is one possibility to do that, but some companies learn the hard way. The rules are the rules, and late is late. Marcy Love Thomas is my next guest on Industry Chatter. She's senior counsel for the government contracts practice at the General Counsel Law Firm and writing about reverse auctions. Marcy, thanks for coming on the program today. Tell me about the case of this company, C2G Limited Company, and the trouble they found themselves in bidding in a reverse auction. Thanks for coming on today.
Francis, thanks so much for having me. This case has heartbreaking facts. A DLA sought proposals for a time and materials contract for maintenance service for government-owned equipment. An award was to be made on the lowest price technically acceptable basis. DLA elected to conduct the procurement as a reverse auction, and they decided to rely on a third-party reverse auction system provider, ProcureX. And it's important to mention, to successfully complete a bid in this system, it required three steps. First, the offeror needed to draft a bid at least $1,000 less than the current lead bid. Second, the computer would generate a prompt to preview and verify that bid. And then the third step, the offeror had to click on the place bid prompt generated. And to fulfill all three of those steps, it usually took between like 5 to 15 seconds. So the day before the actual procurement, the ProcureX, they did a mock reverse auction as a trial run, and the protester in this case and another offeror participated, so they kind of got the lay of the land, understood what they were doing. So the next day, the reverse auction was conducted, and bidding was to begin at 9 a.m. and then end at 9:30. And they had set up an automatic extension provision that would trigger a three-minute extension if a bid was received in the last minute of the auction. So imagine it. On the day of the reverse auction, the protester, C2G, places its bid at 9:04. You might envision some like high fives going on. At 9:10, they're still in the lead. At 9:15, 9:20, and the reverse auction closes at 9:30. At 9:25, there's still no other bids. And then at 9:28, another offeror submits a bid to take the lead. But since that bid was not in the last minute, it was at 9:28, the automatic extension was not triggered, and the protester had a minute to revise its bid, verify it, and submit it. And although they did all of that on their end, it was not successfully transmitted to DLA before 9:30, and so it was not considered.
So am I oversimplifying this? If I think about this in the same way that I think about baseball cards that I try to buy on eBay, and I've lived this, so I understand it, where I'm sitting there and the auction is counting down 5 minutes, 2 minutes, 1 minute, 30 seconds, and it takes me about 6 seconds to submit a bid on a platform like that. I'm not kidding. I mean, I'm not trying to make this sound silly, Marcy.
No, you are grasping it exactly, and I feel like so everybody has had that experience in some context, and not to minimize the value of baseball cards, but for these companies that put so much energy and resources into creating the proposals, and then to be fractions of a second late.
Yes.
It's devastating.
Yes, that's exactly my point. I'm just some goober in Gaithersburg sitting there trying to trying to buy a Willie Mays card, and these are people who are basing the financial success or failure of companies, in some cases, I'm sure, on the vagaries of a system and how well it works at taking their transmissions. And while I have the utmost in sympathy, not just for C2G and the other companies who may have been affected by this, it strikes me that what I read when I read your piece is that there doesn't appear to be any malfunction. There doesn't appear to be any malfeasance by the auction platform or the Defense Logistics Agency. I didn't see any indication that anybody, including the protester, thinks that anybody did anything to them on purpose or was trying to exclude them or anything like that. And it's the most unfortunate way of framing it, but it strikes me that the way to frame this is just how the system works. And part of the transmission of your bid is the transmission of your bid. It's not just a matter of pushing the button, crossing your fingers, and, well, I pushed the button on time, so that's the way it works. Am I on the right track, Marcy?
Absolutely. And we have seen it in other contexts, even with email submissions, where there have been other cases where you submitted on your end, but everybody needs to understand that it's not about submitting it. The FAR, GAO, back in the 70s, it was on mail. It's about receipt. You have to make sure it is received. And so I think I would even take one of the takeaways, really, for CTG. My heart goes out to them in this case, because it was just in that final seconds. But a takeaway from the case is looking at the successful offeror and the strategy they used. They purposely, intentionally waited until the second to last minute so that they wouldn't trigger an extension, but also then have the final lead bid.
And that's the takeaway from what you're writing about this that I think is important to consider. Understanding all of the rules and all of the policies that govern how, whatever it is, whether it's a procurement or anything else, everything that is relevant to how the game is going to be played is important to understand. And again, with all due respect to the folks at C2G, who I agree with you, my heart goes out to them, because they obviously wanted this deal and put a lot of time and effort and resources into trying to get it. But there were policies that they didn't consider, I guess, in trying to figure out how they wanted to execute their strategy.
That's right. And I feel like all these deadline or timeliness cases seem harsh, but GAO in their decision then even reflects back to that mock reverse auction, which was performed a day before. And so they say, you know, parties knew that there's this lag. The lag was there in the mock reverse auction, so they should have been aware of it. Of course, I think it's not something that comes into play when you're doing that mock. You're just you just have a different mentality.
Yep.
So I think another key point is, when you're doing that mock reverse auction, really think of it as the real thing. Think if there are any issues, raise questions at that time, and then use anything you learn from that to help your strategy. And this might be, reverse auctions are part of our government procurement landscape at this point. I've read stats that they've increased 175% or more since 2008. And so maybe it's something where offerors will want to get a technology expert to make sure they're optimizing their speed, to see if there's anything they can do to ensure that they are the last but not late in submitting their bid.
And at the risk of sounding like a shill for you and your colleagues in the legal community, either some kind of a contracting consultant or legal counsel, because here's the money quote, in my view, from the Government Accountability Office. You write, the GAO stated an agency is not required to warn, here's the quote from GAO, not required to warn offerors of every conceivable risk or obstacle they could face in submitting their proposals, and that this delay is readily apparent from common experience using the internet. That sounds to me like a nice way of GAO saying, Marcy, you should have gotten this ahead of time. You had plenty of warning.
Yep. I think even we do have some really great government contract attorneys in the procurement community. But I think if you're untimely for proposal submission, if you're untimely for a protest, if you're untimely for an appeal, I just think that everybody, all those forums take a hard line on that, and I think they should. Then that sort of creates, this is the competitive field. Anybody beyond this line, you're late, it's not going to be considered. You have to be before this deadline that's established for all the players. So I think it's hard to overcome in timeliness.
Well, speaking of timeliness, this is very timely as we get to the end of the fiscal year, and I'm grateful for having you come on and help us understand it. Thanks for your time today,
Francis,
Marcy.
Thanks so much. Have a great day.